Today is the feast of the commemoration of St. Paul the Apostle. The epistle is taken from the letter of St. Paul to the Galatians. Brethren, I give you to understand that the gospel which was preached by me is not of man, for I did not receive it from man, nor was I taught it, but I received it by a revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former manner of life in Judaism, how beyond all measure I persecuted the church of God and ravaged it. And I advanced in Judaism above many of my contemporaries in my nation, showing much more zeal for the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased him who from my mother's womb set me apart and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I may preach him among the Gentiles, immediately without taking counsel with flesh and blood, and without going up to Jerusalem to those who were appointed apostles before me, I retired into Arabia, and again returned to Damascus. Then after 3 years I went to Jerusalem to see Peter, and I remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the brother of the Lord. Now in what I am writing to you, behold, before God I do not lie. Please stand for the gospel. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "Behold, I am sending you forth like sheep in the midst of wolves. But be therefore wise as serpents and guileless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils and scourge you in their synagogues, and you will be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a witness to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not be anxious how or what you are to speak, for what you are to speak will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who are speaking, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks through you. And brother will hand over brother to death, and father his child. Children will raise up against parents and put them to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who has persevered to the end will be saved." Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. I shot an arrow in the air. It fell to earth, I know not where. For so swiftly it flew, the sight could not follow it in its flight. I breathed a song into the air. It fell to earth, I know not where. For who has sight so keen and strong that it can follow the flight of song? Long, long afterwards in an oak, I found the arrow still unbroke. And the song from beginning to end, I found again in the heart of a friend. This very famous poem, "The Arrow and the Song" by Longfellow, I believe, expresses what chant camp is about, and really liturgical music in general. That just like he shoots an arrow, and he can't see where it goes, it flies off, and he sends it out into the world, not knowing its real destination. So also with music. The campers here learned a number of pieces. It takes 13 pieces of music, different pieces of music, to sing in the extraordinary form, to sing a Mass. And they learned it and they send it out. Really, the skills that they learned, the music that they learned also, when they're at home, they're singing it. Many times I get people to come back afterwards and they say, you know, my kids, they're singing these chants, the Kyrie, throughout the house. We send out the music, the song, and where it lands, we don't know exactly, precisely. But we do know that it does have effect. It lands in the heart. And it helps edify and build up the person. Here we have many We have parents and grandparents and family and friends. And the campers work very hard at singing beautifully at this Mass. So they send out their music at the Mass, and it lands in our heart, as he says, from beginning to end. And what does that do? It edifies us. It builds us up, and it opens us up to the things of Christ. Music has a specific effect upon the soul. It is a material thing. It comes into our body through the ears. But there is something, it's a great grace. It's a great gift from God. It affects our soul. And Gregorian chant itself, much of the music that you're hearing, has a specific effect on the soul. It calms the soul. Helps us to relax. It goes into our hearts so that we can open ourselves up to the divine mysteries that are happening here. The church has always said that Gregorian chant is proper to the Roman liturgy. It is proper to the church. Pope Pius X, Pope Pius XII, even the Second Vatican Council says this. Gregorian chant is proper to the Roman liturgy. There is nothing else that the church has ever said similar to this. Not a style of architecture, not a style of vestments, style of clothing, or anything. This is the only thing that I know of like this that the church says it is our own. Why? Because this music has a best effect upon the soul to open it up for the mysteries here. And so we send out the music and it resides in the heart. Now, some people might say, but Father, it's in Latin, and I don't really understand Latin, right? Much of the music is the same at every Mass. But even then, even a stranger, someone who's never been to a Mass before, the extraordinary form, or is familiar with the Roman Rite, if they were to be here, they would also be affected, for music is not bound directly to the words. The music, Gregorian chant, follows the words. And so the style affects the soul. When we hear the Gloria, it is joyful and it uplifts us. When we hear the Kyrie, it's asking for mercy. And it has the proper effects on the soul. But really, there's a deeper thing going on here. And that is, the music, although it lands in our hearts and it opens us up to the mysteries that are happening here, properly speaking, the music is not for us. The Mass is a prayer to God. And the music that the children are singing, the campers are singing here today, are prayers to God. And so whether it's in Latin or Greek or English or Spanish, it doesn't matter. They are being given to God. And so when we say that the music, as Longfellow says, the song from beginning to end, I found in the heart of a friend. I believe that refers to us, as I said, it encapsulates what we're doing here, but it also refers to Christ. Here, truly present in the sacrament. That the music is being sung here, not for our enjoyment or our entertainment. Primarily, it is partially for our benefit to open us up to the mysteries of the Mass. But primarily, first and foremost, the music is being sung for Christ. And so that music is going to him. As it says, as Longfellow says, I think the ending is perfect. In the song, from beginning to end, I found in the heart of a friend, Christ remembers or will remember every note that every camper here sings for him. And every one of them ultimately is for him. We will not see it. Just like the arrow shot into the air, where it goes, I know not where. So that music, we don't see where it's going. We don't see it in the heart of Christ. But as he says, a long, long time afterwards, he finds it. And so, every one of us, a long, long time afterwards, in heaven, we will find that song from beginning to end in the heart of Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.